It's midnight. You hear a knock at your door. You and your family are already comfortably in bed, asleep or falling asleep. You get up, groggy, nervous, but you do answer the door where you find your neighbor. "I'm so sorry to bother you at this hour," he says, "but friends just arrived very hungry, and our cupboards are bare. Do you have any bread that you could share with us?" What do you do? It's midnight. Disorienting darkness makes it difficult to assess problems and easy to believe solutions to be scarce. It's midnight in the parable. And as Dr. King preached in 1958, in many ways, it is again midnight in our world today. The leaders of the United States and North Korea tweet like teenage boys boasting who has the biggest and most powerful nuclear button. In a world with deep poverty and intense violence, our president vulgarly and shamelessly insults Haiti and Africa and their immigrants with words unbecoming the president, let alone unbecoming most people. As Dr. King preached in 58, in many ways it is again midnight in our nation today. The FBI and other independent groups report that in the last 3 years, the number of hate crimes committed in the United States has risen, and the targeting of African Americans, Jews, and Muslims has risen disproportionately high. The Dow soars close to 26,000. Unemployment is down close to 4%. However, not everybody is in on the ride. 2.6 million American workers in our country earn minimum wage. That's poverty pay. We should just call it poverty pay. $7.25 an hour, less than $15,000 annual. 63% of people in poverty who are eligible to work do work. And more than 20 million working Americans live below the poverty line. Darkness prevails in many areas of our federal government. The Secretary of Education does not believe in public education. The Secretary of the Environmental Protection Agency does not believe in the government protecting the environment. That's darkness. As Dr. King preached, in many ways, it is again midnight in our personal lives. So striking to me that in 58, King said, "Everywhere there are people harrowed by day and haunted by night with paralyzing fears, deep clouds of anxiety and depression float in so many of our mental skies." Here we are today in the United States, 60 years later, and scholars estimate that well over 40 million adults, over 20% of our adult population, suffer from either anxiety disorder and/or depressive disorders. We live in Facebook Nation, and fewer people have quality friendships. We run and multitask, leaving ourselves off balance and out of gas. Having served 20 years in the ministry, at times I envision that one Sunday, when a person in the pews begins to cry, everyone else will join in, and it might be a long time before we stop. In some ways or another, we're all hungry. We're all struggling to find our way, knowing life is something less than we dreamed it would be on graduation day, or wedding day, or day we got a job, or a new home. As in the parable, so in our world today, in the deep darkness of midnight, there's an interruption with a knock at the door. And it is the door of the church upon which many people are knocking. Many of us are knocking on the door of the church. People are knocking on the door looking for fresh bread of faith, hope, and love. Now, when somebody knocks on your door, you know you got choices of what to do. You got choices. You could hide. I've done it. Not answer the door. Pretend nobody's home. Or you can answer the door and quickly state, "We're busy, unable to talk, I'm on the phone, gotta go." Or you can answer the door, invite the person in, talk. You could bake and share bread. And I believe that we are called to invite folks into our spiritual home and bake and share bread of faith, hope, and love. And I bet that's what you think we should do as well. I think we're also called to take some of that bread of hope and love out to the highways and the byways and meet people where they are and break bread together. Now, I know a number of people intentionally not following current events in Trump world, seeing it as toxic and futile. And I deeply appreciate and respect that perspective, believe me. However, as a community, we can continue working to mindfully strike a balance between maintaining self-care and active citizenship. And as dedicated citizens of faith, as dedicated citizens and people of faith, there is a burden required of us. And I think we need some, maybe we should have a rotating creative division of labor, because believe me, I think some days we should not pay attention to the toxicity. But as a community, we have to stay dialed in and help each other stay dialed in. I fear so much every day, what were they doing in Germany as the months march by? Were some people, were they paying enough attention? So let's do a creative spiritual division of labor and figure out a way to keep rotating so that as a community we can accurately pay attention to the policies and practices of the day and also get out into the public square and work with our partners to bring equality and justice to all. Dr. King said, "The church is not the master or the servant of the state, but the church is a conscience of the state." And Lord knows, the communities of faith need to be doing that today. There is good news, there is great news at this midnight hour. Fresh bread has been getting baked and is getting baked of hope and love all the time. We began this year with the biggest series of peace and justice marches ever seen around the world. Black Lives Matter continues to expand and strengthen. The Me Too campaign involves thousands of courageous voices speaking up for respect and safety for women and all people. any abuse is unacceptable. Seems like we had to go through this thing with drunk driving where, no, drunk driving's not acceptable, it's not cool. Abusing women, being a predator with women, not cool, totally unacceptable. And this community of faith declares we too stand up with respect. This is the way we need to be, we want to be. No boundary violations. The best way often to make a difference on global and national issues is to bake and share bread in the local community. This is why we participate in Dr. King Day tomorrow and related activities all year round. This is why many of us are going up the street to CVS tomorrow to have a public witness. They pay too many of their workers $9 to $7.25. Poverty pay. Their marketing brand is health, CVS Health. They're a good company in many ways, but they're not giving many of their employees an opportunity to have a healthy life, going to work, doing an honest day's labor, come home, pay the rent, pay the bills, put food on the table, be able to go to the doctor when you need it. And believe me, so many companies are speeding 17 miles over the speed limit with this moral violation of poverty pay. We're just starting with one company, and we're going to go and we're going to build a campaign to get people to be out of poverty when they work in this country. We're going to do it. Listen, Walmart. I'm giving a shot. Walmart just went up to $11 an hour. So there's a lot to talk about. But I believe progress is and will be made. Progress is happening all the time in environmental justice. Even though our president unacceptably pulled us out of the Paris Accords, people all over are pushing for environmental justice every day. We got to keep going with this bread of reduce, reuse, recycle, ride your bike, take public transportation, reduce your carbon footprint. This is happening. I know so many people. Alan Wendell's over here, Mr. Bike Rider to his job. So many people are doing great stuff. Got to keep remembering that. And we, the church, are called upon to feed the people personally and individually, including ourselves. It doesn't all have to do with politics. We have to strike a balance and feed love and faith. Connect with the breath. Connect with the joy. Dr. King would strongly encourage us to continue with spiritual exercises of connecting with the miracles of life. Meditation, prayer, painting, drawing, taking a walk in the woods, knitting, falling unabashedly in love with life as it is, with all its imperfections and beauties. Fall in love with life, people. I don't know if we get another one. I don't know how long any of us are going to live. We got today. We got right now. Love it. Love it. Nourished by this universally available love of life, we come to know the truth of the words of the psalmist who said, "Weeping may tarry for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." What if we all did start to cry together here today? I know I have a couple reasons or feelings towards crying. I bet I'm not alone. I think it would be okay, wouldn't it? And actually, it might be good because it could allow us to put down our guard and better connect with each other. Letting out bottled up pain can create space for grace and kindness to radiate in the living of our lives. This is what Hafiz meant when he said, "When you're lonely or in darkness, there is also an astonishing light of your own being that's there." We can proclaim the glorious truth of this incandescent, inextinguishable light which shines from within and around and upon all of us. That's what the Quakers talk about, and I believe in it. We have witnessed, I know you have, the shining of light coming out of the most remarkably difficult of circumstances. Can you remember right now sometime when you have witnessed astonishing light coming out of brutally painful darkness? Our great poet, Kathy Sheeter Bonanno, whose beloved husband, David, we will memorialize next Sunday at 2 p.m. And the Eagles play at 6:30, so that is really good. Dave would not have wanted his memorial service during an Eagles playoff game. Next Sunday, we're going to memorialize Dave, and his wife, Kathy, wrote this poem to the man who murdered their daughter. She might also have been speaking to God or life itself. Kathy wrote, "You can try to strangle the light. You could make it your mission to shut it out forever. Still, in the morning, a gleaming little ray will betray you, poking its optimistic finger through a corner of the blind. And then more light. This is the stubborn sun choosing to rise like it did yesterday, like it will tomorrow. You have nothing to do with it. The sun makes its own history. Light has its way. Light has its way." May we go out into this day living our lives as praise songs for the good news that light has its way. May we go out into this day living our lives as praise songs for actively sharing the bread of faith, hope, and love. Blessings be. Amen.